Coming live from Corvallis, Oregon, USA is our guest this evening. Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Anastasia Lipsky, speaker and podcast booking agent, and she's the founder of Access Speakers, a speaker and podcast booking agency, where she personally has booked 1,600 plus engagements for her clients. That's a whopping number. We'll talk about that. Welcome to the show, Anastasia.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here. And I appreciate everyone who is listening now and listening in the future for giving us your time.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to India. And I'm sure with your access with so many clients, this show will reach to a lot of people. A lot of people will benefit from your insights, both podcasting people, marketing people, podcasting guests especially, how they can use this as the best marketing tool that they can have. And we'll also talk about speaking. So first, to understand from you, Anastasia, is that why do you think in today's time, if we talk for today, is podcasting, podcast guesting, as well as speaking, is a great marketing tool for businesses, brands, whoever wants to create some branding for themselves?
There's a lot of reasons. I would say the number one reason, for me at least, is that I think of speaking and podcast guesting, in particular for people for whom their product is themselves. It's their services, you know, not so much tangible widgets, if you will, but actual providing of services. People, it's like sample advertising. And back when I took a marketing course, I remember learning that sample advertising was the most effective form that was out there, but it's also can be the most costly. And yet, when it comes to speaking and podcast guesting, then it's not so costly for a person to be able to use that platform. So when you're sharing your voice, your passion, your expertise, and you're doing it well, you're doing it with integrity, you're doing it to bless the audience, not pitch your stuff, if you will, what will happen is that a certain amount of people are going to really resonate with you. And we all know that people like to buy from people they know, like, and trust. So they're really getting a taste for who you are, what you're about, what you do, and or it might be a tangible product, but they like you. And so, you know, they understand a little bit more about that product. And I just feel like it's a beautiful, beautiful way to get your voice out there and educate people.
Absolutely. Educate people. So
yeah.
You are the founder of Access Speakers. And as you said earlier, 1,600 plus engagements for your clients. So that includes podcasting, guest podcast guesting as well. If we include both the things in terms of speaking engagement as well as podcast guesting, what are these people coming to you for? Initially, when they contact you, what are their expectations? What is it that they want? Because they seem to have tried a lot of other marketing tools that are already in the market and which have been prevailing for quite some time.
Right. Basically, what's happened is that in the past, especially in the speaking world and the world of platform or marketing speakers, those are people who speak for free to grow their business. They're not getting paid, in essence, to be on that stage, but rather using it as a marketing tool. They've had to find, like, search for those groups to get in front of, you know, promote themselves to them, hope that they're going to get booked as a speaker. Same thing with the podcast guesting. And the truth is, it's not the highest and best use of your time. I mean, we've learned from that whole e-myth mentality that we want to stick to our brilliance and outsource anything that we possibly can to someone else. So my agency does the grunt work. This is not, you know, it's not rocket science. People have been doing this for years, getting themselves booked. And now in the podcast guesting world, I will say that there have been agencies that have been around a lot longer in the free speaker agency world, you know, people who book, people who speak for free. there have not been many agencies. So it's been an interesting thing for me to start in the speaker world, switch more into the podcast guesting world, and see that there have been people out there doing the bookings, but they do things very differently than how I do them. So it's really more a matter of just allowing us to do the work for you.
Right, right. But if they come to you, Anesthesia, they must be having certain expectations. So how do you meet that expectation? It is not an easy job, because even if they are not asking for anything, or they are doing because they want to build a brand, right, even that is an expectation that, okay, they will be able to build a brand. And not everyone can build a brand that the way they want to. Right. They may succeed in one thing or the other, but not the way that they have visualized themselves to be as successful. So that is where I was wanting to understand.
Got it.
The mismatch of expectations are always there. How do you meet as much expectation as possible? This will give an idea that sometimes, you know, some speakers will tell about what their expectation, maybe just to build that relationship, but actually inside they have larger expectations, but they are not going to say. And they just want to see it, and it gets reflected with time. Same with podcast guesting. That is because people want to grow their business, grow their brands, personal brands, sell their books, sell whatever is possible in the best manner possible.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to get your insight, because you have seen this agency business, this podcasting business, speaking business from very, very close.
Yes, indeed. So first thing is, I am very careful in my business that I basically underpromise and overdeliver. So number one, I'm very clear about that. I'm also very clear with my incoming clients that my job is to get them booked. When I get them booked, it's on them to kill it. It's on them to do a smashing job for every interview that they're on, every talk that they do. And it's also on them to do something with each and every talk and, you know, interview that they do. We are not an agency that does all of their social media. In fact, every one of my clients, when they have an episode that's come out, I do share it on LinkedIn. We are a speaker booking agency and a podcast booking agency. So as far as how well they do with their branding, that's kind of on them. But I am very careful about making certain that we get them on the right shows and with the right groups, because that's where it's the most important beginning, if you will. Because if a person's just getting out there and they're not matched well, they're not going to have success. So there's a lot of variables in there. I have a very unique agency, and that what we do is we first vet a show before we even offer it to any of our clients. We're going to listen to the show. We're going to look at the show. We're going to see how they're promoting it. We're going to see just how they show up as a host and as a show in general. And only if we feel that they're a good fit for a select number of our clients. We're very specific. We don't take a template and send it out to 6,000 people. So we then will run that show by our client first. We don't just book them. We run it by them, and we ask them to vet the show. We want them to listen. We want them to get a sense for whether they really would be of value to that host. And if so, they come back and they let us know why they are a great fit for that particular show. And only then do we approach the show on their behalf. So it's a much more tedious, time-consuming process, but I'm a huge believer in quality versus quantity. I want my guests to be connected to the host, because I think that it's important that they have a relationship. My agency is just not going to be the type that's just going to book them and say, here, show up, here's your show. That's just not how we like to roll. And I'm not dissing that in any way. That's very effective for a lot of people. And for many, that's what they want. They just want to get booked. But for me, it's about establishing that relationship right from the get-go between the host and the guest, so that there's more connection when you're together right from the beginning. So we're successful because of this process. I mean, by the time we get to the host, it's already gone through two screening processes. So we have a higher rate of success when we do reach out to that host. Plus, the hosts that we work with know that we do all this, and so they're much more likely to say yes to the people we send their way because they've already experienced our working relationship and the caliber of the people that we have coming on their shows. Does that help? So
absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
And you have actually come out with some very good points. So I will tell you a few good points from my side.
Yeah.
One is you deserve that respect and that acknowledgement that, yes, I've seen you sharing podcasts on your LinkedIn page and on other platforms. So that is rarely any podcast agency does that.
Yeah.
Secondly, you are very hands-on. And, you know, this is very great help to the hosts. Hosts otherwise are left with the burden of promoting the shows themselves. It is okay. It is okay to each one the way they want to. But this is the acknowledgement I want to give you as a host of more than 500 live podcast shows. So please, I say this very, very openly.
Second thing,
because these are the problems with the podcast agency model at the moment.
Mm.
You are a bit away from that for whatever reasons. Maybe you were in the tourism and event planning thing. So maybe that curtsy has come along.
I'm sure it has.
So, second thing is that whatever way the podcast agencies work, the fact is that initially, if you have a lot of communication with the host, and as soon as the guest goes online, the podcast agency representative or the agency vanishes, not even one word of thank you or whatever it is. That leaves a very bad impression.
Yeah.
For the second guest, it is individual. Every individual host is very different. For me, you have to close the doors forever. Because I want to deal with humans. I don't want to deal with robots.
Mm-hmm.
And I have dealt with many people, even in my media career as a journalist for many, many years. This is not the way it is going to work. You have to build relationships. You got to. So these are the two points I wanted to acknowledge. Your understanding of this whole profession, and it's like a fresh breath of air, you know. It gives some perspective and a bit of understanding that, okay, you are dealing with humans. You are not just dealing with a few people who are under so much of pressure that they can't even coordinate properly or even be the same human after your work is done. This is not how you build relationships, and your guest will, it's the guest who is going to suffer. So they have to decide how they are being treated, not only as a guest, but also how the messaging is done by the podcast agency to the host itself, because then they will never get a chance because they have identified themselves with the podcast agency. So these are some few words that I wanted to share because this was the opportunity. This was the discussion that we were having today. So let's move on from there now. Let's move on to the, you know, but some agencies, I have not dealt with most of these agencies. Some agencies I've dealt with, only a couple I can say have actually impressed me with that. But I would like to give you full marks for the way we have dealt with our own thing. And I'm sure I've seen it you doing for others. So that's a good thing. As I said, it's a breath of fresh air. Now, so as I said, let's go back to the beginning of how this podcast biggest booking as well as speaking booking happens, is that most important document is the one pager.
Mm.
What is your opinion of the one pager that floats around in this podcasting universe? How are you, how have you brought that difference in terms of the guests or the clients that you are dealing with? Help understand. And what is wrong or right with the way things are happening in terms of the one pager? Because I'll tell you where. A lot of people are not from the content background. They are simple people, very talented people, but that is the one pager that they will read.
Yes.
Now, in journalism, we used to see, you know, a lot of PR agencies floating around press releases.
Mm-hmm.
But press releases never make it to the end of the, you know, to the print or anywhere else. They go into spikes or get into the dustbin.
Right.
You've got to make it much more relevant. The news cannot be hiding somewhere in deep corners and all the blabbering happening in that press release. That those days are gone. Press releases are gone.
Yep.
Some of the one-pagers almost look like that. But that is my view. Help us understand your view on this one-pager so that not only a lot of podcast hosts are able to understand it better, but also in terms of this gives a message to a lot of people who are contributing their strength, their might, and their understanding, and a lot of effort putting into this podcasting world, but not able to do it the right manner that they should be.
Perfect. Thank you. I love talking about that. So first, to clarify for any listeners who do not know what a one pager is, in the industry, and it primarily, to the best of my knowledge, it actually started in the speaker industry. So speakers would create this one page that would be a synopsis of who they are as a person and what they speak on and where they've spoken and testimonials about how great of a speaker they are. That was standard in the speaking industry. It was not standard in the podcast guesting industry because initially podcast guesting was more of an organic thing. But now that people have really caught on to the fact that it's a brilliant marketing tool, they've realized that they need to promote themselves and brand themselves in a way that makes it easy for a host to be able to, at a glance, get a sense for who they are. And this piece, what the biggest, well, first I'm going to say two things, and I'm going to come back to some of the mistakes that people make. With my guests, they have a separate profile on my website. So I can represent someone who does not have a one sheet because I lead my host direct to their profile that has even more information than what a one sheet can provide. However, if they do have a one sheet and it's good, we will use it as long as it's an agency copy and it directs people back to us. Now, the other thing is I'm going to put a word out there for Podmatch because that's how you and I know each other. So if someone does not have a one sheet, but they are on Podmatch, they will be given a public URL that they can share. And a lot of their information that would be on a one sheet is in that one page, and they can use that until they create a one sheet. So sometimes people they stall themselves from not getting out there because they feel like they need to have everything perfect. They got to have the one sheet. They got to have the website. They got to have all these things. Meanwhile, they're keeping their voice inside a box and people aren't hearing what it is that they need to share. So I say, get out there and then start upping that, you know, improving your visibility with things like a one sheet. Now, the biggest mistakes that I see on one sheets is that people forget that the purpose of a one sheet is to get you booked to speak or get you booked to guest on a podcast. It is not to promote your business. So many people will talk about their business. Now you want to have that in the bio because you want to establish credibility as to why you are qualified to even speak on that subject, whatever it might be. But beyond that, what we want to know is how great of a speaker are you? So the testimonials that you put on a one sheet should be, you know, how this person is as a speaker. If they're going to do a podcast guesting one sheet, it's how they were as a guest. So as an example, AJ, I am going to be reaching out to you on LinkedIn, and I'm going to ask you to do a testimonial about me as a guest, because that is gold. It's gold to come from a host saying, Anastasia was a great guest, loved having her, blah, 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 whatever it might be, right? And I will also, to all your listeners out there, the quid pro quo, like how do we support hosts? I also do a recommendation on LinkedIn for every show I've been on. I actually review the host. How many times have you received a recommendation about being a host on LinkedIn? That's important because that's how we can support you. So when people are vetting you as a potential show, they can see what someone has said about being a guest on your show right there. And that has nothing to do with doing the Apple review, which I've already done. So these are things that you can help with that. Now, those testimonials, if you get it on, I always suggest if you're on a platform like LinkedIn that provides that a place, try to get the testimonial on LinkedIn, because then I'm going to cut and paste that testimonial and I am going to be able to share it on my profile on my site or my one sheet. But I can't, if I get it via email, add it to my LinkedIn profile. So I'm just saying for all of your listeners who are actively using LinkedIn, and I know some are on LinkedIn right now live watching us, this is a better way. It's an upgrade to getting that rave review about you as a guest. Do it through LinkedIn first. and then be able to transfer it over. Another mistake that people make on one sheets is they forget to have their contact information, which blows my mind. But I've actually seen that. In fact, there was a PR agency that put out, I don't even know how much they charged this guy to create this beautiful one sheet, and his contact information wasn't anywhere on it, anywhere. So when I questioned them about it, they said, oh, well, we always attach it to our emails. But you have to remember that these one sheets, which are converted to a PDF, ideally, that's the normal process, they can get separated from that email. They also sometimes are literally printed out and brought into a meeting room once a week with a group or a podcast, you know, that might have a team and they're going to review their potential guests. It's going to be completely separated. So always make sure that you have your contact information in there as well. You'll want to have your topics, what you speak on. Now, if you are strictly interested in being a podcast guest, then you might want to have some sample questions or conversation starters that you can put on there. The idea is that you want the host or the event planner, meeting planner, et cetera, who is considering hiring you or bringing you in as a speaker or podcast guest, to at a glance be able to get a sense for who you are and what you're about. And that comes through your image, which is going to be, you know, a headshot. If you have an action shot of you with a microphone, even better. If you've got books, you know, that you've written, you can have the little images on there. One other mistake, it's not that it's a bad mistake, but a better way to brand yourself is to have at the top of the page what you're about, the biggest. And then right under that would be your name is the second biggest. People tend to make their name the biggest. But again, what we want is to convey the essence of what this is going to be about. So on my one sheet at the top, it's this statement about using your voice. That's what I'm all about. I want people to use their voice if they have a message, if they can be of value to people. And then my name is secondary. So I could talk for a long time about one sheets, but I feel like perhaps we have covered that enough. Or do you have additional questions regarding that?
No, I have more questions,
okay. But
not on the one sheet. I think you have explained that very well. And for more, I think they will have to come for you, because then it is a better way they can learn. Okay. This is just one podcast. But a lot of podcast guests, I see, my experience is that a lot of them are sometimes they get the good results, sometimes they get the bad result. But a lot of times, as I started with, expectations that have not been met or are still unmet. And many of these people have paid money to the podcast agencies. And I have done my research. Several places, it is somewhere between $200 to $1,000. That's the amount that keeps on. Normally, that's the rate. Now, if they have paid money to the podcast agencies and they are not able to give those returns, in terms of a lot of podcast guests, what would you like to tell them? Why is it that they are not getting the results that they have expected? Is it a fault? Because I can tell you, a lot of these agencies work very hard. They're young people, a lot of people, and they're experienced people. But at the end of the day, the decision has to be taken by the host or by those themes and all that stuff. So what is it that you want to tell the guests, that why is it their podcasting not working the way they expected to get the returns on? Shed some light on this so that a lot of podcast guests understand this aspect.
Yes. I think it's very important, because it's disheartening to have people who have been at it for 3-6 months, they come back and they say, I tried it. It didn't work for me. But the moment I start asking questions is when I often find out that they didn't have a strategy. Okay. It's important that you have a strategy, that this is in the thing is that, especially with agencies, we are often hired because that person doesn't really have the time to do all the work that it takes to find the shows, get them booked, handle the nuances, if you will, of each and every different show. And so it's almost like there are some people that think that all they need to do is get booked on podcasts and they're just going to outsource everything and it's just going to magically happen. And I'm going to tell you that the people who are successful in their podcast guesting strategy, they still have work to do themselves. Now, you can still have your team do it if you have a VA or an assistant that's going to support you with that, but you've got to share it. You know, you've got to connect with the host after the fact. You've got to do these steps that an agency can only do so much. Now, maybe there are some agencies that do everything. They do the follow-up. They do the social media. It's entirely possible. My agency does not, but I don't have, you know, I don't offer them that, right? So my people are clear on the expectations. The most important thing comes back to that idea of being on the right show. It's really important. That's the number one mistake that I see happening, in particular when people are invited. You know, it's kind of hard to say no, right? So someone reaches out, they're like, oh, I'd love to have you on my guest, you know, as a guest on my show. That's lovely. And it's okay to do that, but you want to be careful about your expectations of what you can get from that show if you're not fully aligned. If you're not really, your core message is not going to be of value to that audience, then in essence, you're just doing community service. Okay. It's not going to lead back to business. It's not going to lead back to that branding visibility that you want. Also, I would say be very careful, you know, because perhaps if you are going on too many shows that are unrelated to your core message, you could be confusing people out there, you know, so maybe you talk about, you know, course creation, but you're talking on UFO shows and gardening shows because you got invited and you have an interest in that. That's not going to support you. And it can, you know, in essence, conflict with what people are saying about you. But the other thing comes back to that strategy of what to do with each and every episode that you're on. Sharing it is critical because that's how you get seen by more people. So when I share our episode, in fact, I'm going to be, in fact, AJ, smile pretty because I want to take a picture of us really quick, a screenshot.
You can do that.
And no, I'm going to be, you know, I know that this is live, but it'll be a moment before it's actually launched on all the more traditional platforms for podcasts. But I'm going to share this on LinkedIn. And be like, hey, guess what? Did this live with AJ today, and the episode's coming out when it airs. I'm going to bring it. I'll share the episode at that point. Meanwhile, check out his podcast. You know, give it a listen. There might be other people you want to hear. And while you're at it, do him a solid, give him a rating and review. Like, I'm going to do that even before the episode is released. That's important. This helps me to get in front of your people. Okay, so it's not just, yeah, I want to bless you, but there's strategy behind it too, especially when you respond, right? And vice versa. And one thing, I don't want to go too far off topic, but I just was remembering, I had listened to an episode of yours that you did with the Michelle Abrams, and I remember you talking about that you were thinking about writing a piece on podcast guest ghosting.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now I don't know if you've done that yet. And then Michelle was talking about, yes, absolutely. And sometimes hosts, all you hosts absolutely. Out there.
I don't want to shift that blame. I know that it happens.
Less of the ghosting on that part,
It has happened with me also, Anastasia. A couple of my guests, they are also podcast guests, hosts. They invited me to the show. I don't get too much of time, but out of respect, out of that podcasting agency, you know, fraternity, I say yes. Yeah. I fill up the form and then they ghost. A couple of them. And the worst part is they send me messages on LinkedIn forgetting that they have also come on my podcast.
Oh my gosh.
So how do I do it? Yes.
Strange
mind. I don't know.
Indeed. Well, the thing I wanted to say also, so Michelle was talking about the fact that sometimes a host doesn't share afterwards. They don't share the episode. They don't share the assets for the guest to promote it. Now, so there's both sides. But one thing I want to toss out that both sides either forget or are not aware of, or maybe they don't realize how important it is. But especially in the world of LinkedIn, now that's where I hang out. So if anybody wants to connect with me there, please do. But if you do, by the way, please introduce yourself. Tell me that you heard me on this show because if someone just sends me a blanket request to connect and they don't take 30 seconds to tell me why they want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I don't accept the request because I'm in it for the relationships. So, but anybody who does take that time, I always love to connect with them. But what I want to say is that if you pre-schedule a post on LinkedIn, and I can't speak for the other platforms, you cannot tag anyone. So if I were to pre-schedule any share that I do on LinkedIn, I won't be able to tag you. So I see all the time, both guests and hosts sharing about episodes, sharing the actual episode, but they don't tag the alternate person. And then there's no dialogue, there's no responses, there's no comments going back and forth between the host and the guest. And that's where the magic happens. It's that post dialogue, if you will, that happens in the comment section that both sides get to be seen by the other sides. So for you, the value is that my people will get to connect with you and see what you're about, right? So this is a win-win-win-win-win-win all around. But I want to just caution people about the scheduling, that if you're going to pre-schedule your posts or you've got a team that's pre-scheduling it, you've got to set some kind of a ping to go in the day that it is posted and edit and tag that person. And in fact, when I do tagging of a podcast host, I will also look to see if they have a business page. And if they have a business page, I will tag them. And the fastest way to know, y'all, if they have a business page is to just look at the profile of your host, go to their current experience, their positions, and if there's a logo, an image next to their company name, that means that they have created a business page on that site. It might be a page for their podcast that's dedicated to that or to their business. So that's just one more little level upgrade that I like to do just to make it a little bit deeper and get more visibility for the host.
Absolutely. You have put it very well in terms of podcast guesting as well as hosting as well as ghosting. article is very much within the works. There was earlier on, there was so much of work, and then I was unwell for quite some time in terms of this whole heat wave going on in India. It impacts our general life, whether you are a podcast host or a common man, or even I am a very common man, and it impacted me. But I have that very much in mind. Another thing that I wanted to tell about the tagging part is several of them, podcast guests, do not tag you. Right. Maybe some people don't know about it, but some people do deliberate. Another thing I have seen, and I'm sure maybe some people will at least listen to this part of the conversation, is that some people try to be very smart. They cut you out of that bite if they are making it a shorter bite.
Mm.
And they don't like your face. They don't want to be, or they want to be the own sole expert who wants to be seen on a reel or anywhere. But I want to tell them, everybody knows about it. And if you do it, you never get invited again. And you will not be. But and even if you are doing it, for whatever reasons you are doing it, please understand, if you are seeing individually, why did you come to the podcast? You could have recorded something. You could have recorded something in your own, with your own phone, and you could have put it out on your social media. Nobody, it's the same thing.
Right.
A podcast host, whether good or bad, gives you that third person endorsement. That you were on somebody else's show. You were invited. If you are doing that, it is not even working in your favor. So that these are some nuggets I wanted to share. Another thing I've seen, Anastasia, is that podcast guests coming through agencies, many of them I've seen, I'm not even saying several, many, they also ghost. Mm. They just forget. They don't even acknowledge you, some of them. Some don't even accept your request on LinkedIn, forget about any other place. So that is not podcast agencies need to tell the podcast guests they are not the president of the United States. If they think that the podcast has been done, I do it live, but I still hold control over a lot of things. I will not unnecessarily promote people who do not have the basic courtesies. That is, that should, and this is growing. People are growing to understand. You may be the owner of a big company, but for me, you are a guest, a respectable ghost, host. But if you ghost, you will not be respectable, that respected anymore. They need to understand. A lot of podcast hosts are understanding this. Another aspect is about the tagging part is that I don't get connected with a lot of people on Facebook, but Facebook might be their major place that they want to promote.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot tag them several times, even if I want to. And you know, you get frustrated with that impact, with that try. They need to find out a way how a podcast host can tag them so that it gives them again that third party endorsement, because that goes. Otherwise, they will have to put it out themselves, which is again, you know, beating your own drum. It does not work. You don't get to get my audience into that thing, because that's not going to. So this is another part. So several things here we have discussed here. At the end, Anastasia, I just want to understand from you is the trend. What is the trend in terms of, is podcasting going higher, or is has it stopped, or is it has it or is best days are behind it? How do you see that?
No, it's definitely growing. There's no doubt. I mean, even my grandchildren listen to podcasts now. Yeah, it's something that's becoming, I believe, just the norm in society, and it's I think more people are catching on to the idea of it being a beautiful marketing tool, which kind of scares me, because it's these people that we're talking about right now, those that don't get it, those that don't reciprocate, those that don't bless their host and the audience, that they're in it for themselves. But the thing is that they're eventually going to drop off, because podcast hosts talk to podcast hosts. They do. Y'all know each other. You know, you go to PodFest Global or whatever, you know, and I want to be the kind of guest that if somebody's at a conference with a bunch of other podcast hosts and y'all are sitting around and having a drink or a cup of tea or something, I want to be the guest that if my name's passed around, it's like, she was awesome. I don't want to be the one like, oh, let me tell you about my nightmare guest. Let me tell you about my client. You know, that it just, I don't want to be that. We want to be, you know, it's the golden rule, right? We want to be the type of guest that we would want if we were a host. We want to be the type of host that we would want if we were a guest. We just want to be the type of person that we want other people to be. We treat them as we want to be treated ourselves. It's so simple. So I do worry about those that are going to kind of use and abuse the platform. But for the most part, I will say that it's a beautiful, exciting world. It's like the wild, wild west. Everyone who is really into it and has a love and a passion for the industry, it's just this beautiful space. There's so many podcast agencies that I know and connect with, and we're not in competition with each other. Every single one of us are different. You know, I might not be the right fit for I know I'm not the right fit for everyone that's out there, and vice versa. I might be a better fit for some people than some of the other agencies. But in fact, I've referred people to other agencies. It's really just this exciting world of people coming together, and we don't know where it's going. We don't know where it's going, but I know it's not going away. It's just going to become mainstream, just like back in the early days of the internet. I mean, I remember the early days of the internet. I remember the early days of Twitter and how different it is now. It's a common household name. And it wasn't back when I was first in it. Podcasting is very popular now. There's still a lot of people that are not comfortable with the platform, but they're getting more comfortable as it becomes easier to access to. Even for people who are, you know, they are sight impaired, hearing impaired. Like, there's a lot of things that are happening that's so exciting in the world of podcasting that's going to make it even more accessible to all. And I am so happy to be a part of all of this. And I love it. I'm not leaving the speaking part of my business behind, but I'm a little more jacked about the podcasting part, to be completely honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do people know more about you, Anesthesia, and in terms of access speakers, how can they connect with you if they want to engage with you professionally?
The easiest thing is to go to one location, and it's simply my web address. So it's accessspeakers.biz, /thank you. And that's all you need to know to be able to get in touch with me. Because in there, there's information about my monthly Q&A that I do that's completely free. It's a one-hour chance to pick the brain of a speaker and podcast booking agent. We have a lot of fun. We also do a drawing at the end for one lucky recipient to win a branding consultation with me. I do consulting services. That's one of my favorite things to do, is help people one-to-one with their branding, so they're more likely to get booked and talk about best practices. But everything is there. My LinkedIn link is there. Like I said, I'm happy to connect that way. But that one page, and that's what I recommend, by the way, for anyone who's going to be using podcast guesting as part of their marketing strategy, have one location for everyone to go to where they can learn a little bit more about you. I've got a free ebook they can get by signing up there, all of that in one spot. So accessspeakers.biz/thank you. And I'm sure that we can get in the show notes as well. And so they can easily click on it. Yeah, but that's it. I recommend that everyone have a similar page that they can direct people to that's unpublished. Well, it's published, but it's kind of private. So you have to have the URL to get it there. So it makes everybody here really special if they go there.
Absolutely. And this has been a very special episode with a lot of good discussion. And for some people, not so good discussion in terms of we have laid a few things out in the open, but it is required. A lot of podcasting does not only give voice to only a speaker or a guest speaker, but also to the host, like it has given to people like me and people like you also, who has found a new life when you are, especially after COVID. So we want this industry to flourish. We want this industry to be the best in terms of what people want from it and what people get from it. As for me, I have got so much from it. And for that, I will have to thank a lot of people, including, you know, the ghosting ones, because they teach you, and including the ones who keep on giving advice or give a lot of learning, and the learning which gives a lot of earning to many, many people across the world. So with this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.